I wanted to talk about something that pertains to Pentecost. I don't get to speak on Pentecost, but I do get to speak before Pentecost and help lay the groundwork for Pentecost. Pentecost, of course, being the day where the law was given and the day where the Holy Spirit was given, an essential component in the plan of salvation for all humanity. So the title of my sermonette is Personnel is Policy. In some ways, that's kind of the punchline. Personnel is Policy. When President Clinton came into office, he wanted to have his people enforcing U.S. law. So he wanted to have people that he could trust, that he knew how they were going to do, what kind of attitude they were going to have. When he came into office, he requested through his attorney general for the resignation of all U.S. attorneys. Now, no president previous to this had ever requested an entire housekeeping of U.S. attorneys. It was customary to replace some, but not all. U.S. attorneys have the task of seeking indictment and conviction for federal crimes. All administrations express their policy goals, their policy philosophy, in part by the enforcement priorities that are set by the U.S. attorneys. These are primarily what types of crimes are given a high priority and which are not. Of course, the president would not have demanded the resignation of U.S. attorneys without having the replacements already vetted and prepared to take office. The political operatives in the office of the president would not have accepted nominees who are not already known to be in sync and in full agreement with the president, and would, by the very natures of their job, be sensitive to any policy goals and policy signals from the president and his political apparatus. Now, the Roman Empire, and actually all tyrannical empires, are skillful at appointing people to carry out the policies of their leaders. Now, of course, the incentive mechanisms there were pretty clear. If you failed to carry out the policy, you could quickly end up dead. There are several places in the Gospels that discuss these officials, at least from the Roman officials. They include tax collectors, publicans, high officials like Pilate and Herod. Indeed, any king or emperor who expects to remain in office will only appoint loyal administrators. God is well aware of the importance of the kind of people he appoints to do a job. For example, if we can look at Deuteronomy 16 and verse 18, just a simple passage, and it's self-evident. Deuteronomy 16:18. You shall appoint judges and officers for yourself in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, tribe by tribe, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. So you're not going to appoint reprobates or people who will take bribes from foreign governments or any other people that will compromise. You will judge your people with righteous judgment. But more to the point, if we could turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 15. And Jehovah told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you shall appoint him to be your leader over my people Israel, so that he may save my people out of the land of the Philistines. For I have looked on my people because of their cry has come to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, Jehovah said to him, behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall reign over my people. And later on in verse 1 of chapter 10, it reads, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, and Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because Jehovah has appointed you for a leader over his inheritance? The New English Bible translates the last part of this verse as, quote, the Lord appoints you prince over his people Israel. You shall rule the people of the Lord and deliver them from the enemies round about them. The example of Saul is useful up to a point, of course, because we know that Saul later on failed to do what he was supposed to do. From the example of President Clinton's mass replacement of all U.S. attorneys, instruction in Deuteronomy about appointing judges to why Saul was appointed to be captain of God's inheritance. The common thread is a very old principle of management, which is personnel is policy. This principle simply means that when an executive wants to ensure that his policies are carried out in the way that he wants them to be carried out, and for, I would add, for the reasons he wants them carried out, he had better appoint his people to do the job, people he has confidence in. It is especially important to replace people from the previous executive where there is any question about their loyalty or the reasons they would do things. Anyone that is left in office will be tempted to undermine or be slow in carrying out policies that they don't fully support. Why is the principle personnel as policy a suitable topic for the time before Pentecost? Only a few weeks. I mean, in only a few weeks we have, 2 weeks and a day. Why talk about how an executive must put people who are in sync with the policies and his way of thinking in positions of authority? Now, twice in the book of Revelation, Jesus describes the resurrected saints as being, quote, kings and priests. And we are all familiar with these references. It is easy, even in the Church of God, to pass over these phrases, even as if they were some kind of flowery church language, or these titles don't mean very much. But I think Christ is extremely, he is as serious as you can get in telling us what his intent is to describe the various serious positions and responsibilities and essential components of his kingdom. As a matter of fact, components where his millennium can't work unless his people do their job. Now, the UK just had a major election, and so did Israel. In each case, the head of the winning party will be busy negotiating with various constituency power blocks and other political parties for which people are mutually acceptable to hold ministerial-level positions in those governments. This activity is typically called forming a government. It's typical in systems where there's a parliamentary system, and a lot of the former British Commonwealth countries, British colonies, have parliamentary governments. Now this morning, or actually it was last night, I searched Google News for the phrase formed a government. There were 5,640 recent news stories from around the world on this topic. Now, of course, the election in the UK and Israel were major components of that, so most of those stories were from the UK and Israel. But here's just two articles. One says, David Cameron names senior cabinet members. Party makes gains across Surrey and Hampshire. It says, the Prime Minister started putting together a new government after returning to Downing Street following the Conservative success. And this other article is more helpful to my sermonette because it's in the title, Netanyahu Closer to Forming a Government. You want to always pick an article that has a clear headline instead of an obscure one that you have to explain. In Matthew chapter 24 and elsewhere, Christ warns that there would be much destruction of people and things in the days ahead in a time, he said in verse 21, was unlike any time since the beginning of the world. God the Father and Jesus Christ have a big job ahead of them, which is to set up a new society in the ruins of the Great Tribulation. This society will be based on godly values, godly laws, and will be run by a godly administration. The main goal of this society is to make possible the salvation of as many human beings as possible, even all humans who ever lived and died long time ago. The only people who will be permitted to lead the society, to judge matters, to help make policy, to act as examples of thinking and behavior, to advise people to deal with threats to that goal are people who have the Holy Spirit while in this life today, who will have been resurrected as spirit beings at Christ's return. The Holy Days picture the essential points of God's plan. Replacing the carnal human nature with the Spirit of God is one of those essential component points. God tells us of this future time in Ezekiel 11, starting in verse 19. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit in them, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a new heart of flesh, that they walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Because today, the true God is not the true God, not the God of most people on earth. That they may walk in my statutes and be his people. God's kingdom cannot be established without properly qualified spirit beings to administer it. Personnel for God is policy. Those whom Christ calls kings and priests are those personnel. God's commandments, statutes, and judgment comprise that policy. The Holy Spirit makes this possible. So let me close by reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But to them, the called out ones, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolish things of God are wiser than men, and the weak thing of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men are called according to the flesh, and not many mighty and not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And God has chosen the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, and the things which are not, in order to bring to nothing things that are, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, according as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.